Thanks so much for joining us this morning for the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. We are studying a fit of depression, what it was like when David reached the point near the end of his running years before King Saul was killed and he was then chosen to be king of Judah. A fit of depression. Yep, David fell into it, made a decision. Yep, I don't think God's going to be able to take care of me anymore. I'm going to have to go live in the land of the Philistines. And we were talking about the price that that decision cost him. Another price we'll get into this morning is it sure made the devil happy. See, David and his men were welcomed with open arms by Achish, the king of Gath. See, the adversary's cause was adopted. As soon as David and his men moved into the land of the Philistines, they basically said, whatever battle you want us to join you in, we're here. We'll be your back. And King Achish said, wow, to have David, the giant killer, on my side, he and his 600 men to have my back. Wow, that's fantastic. The adversary's cause was adopted. And when you and I give in to a fit of depression, Satan's cause gets adopted. Because we're no longer taking a strong stand for God. We're no longer a fantastic testimony for the Lord. See, he deserted to the devil in one area of his life, and the tide was turned in all the areas of his life. You know, that's true for you and me. We have to watch our desires and our habits, because as soon as we just kind of give in to the devil, that first area, whether it be I'll never find a godly husband or wife, or I'll never be chosen to be a leader in my school unless I make these compromises, whatever it is, the adversary's cause is adopted. Then the only way to live at peace is to be a lying, deceiving kind of a person. That's exactly what happened with David. He had to deceive Achish into what he and his men were doing, living a life of deceit to survive. And the same thing happens when you and I give in. We have to live a life of deceit. And then injury and devastation occurred. The Bible tells us in chapter 29 and the first 7 verses, now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. All of a sudden, the Philistines and the Israelites are now pitching their armies against each other. And David had told King Achish, listen, I've got your back. We'll fight with you. And King Achish said, do you realize who we're fighting today? And you can see the bitterness that has developed in David's heart when he realizes they're going to go fight against King Saul and the Israeli army. And he said, we will join you. Isn't that amazing? The Philistines are fighting the Israelites, and David and his men are going to fight with the Philistines. Now, you see the effects of allowing ourselves to give into a fit of depression. Before long, we are associated so strongly with the enemy that we're fighting against God's forces. You can see the gracious hand of God in the whole thing. The other kings of the Philistines said to Achish, no. We're not going into battle with him behind us. He's an Israelite. I know King Saul's been trying to kill him, but in the middle of the battle, he may turn against us, and it may be to our devastation. He's not going to battle with us. And so as a result of that, they sent him back home. And so he becomes displaced. The commanders didn't trust him, and so he's sent back home. And then we see in verses 8 and 9 of 1 Samuel 29 that he becomes so frustrated with King Achish, and he said, don't you trust me? And Achish says, no, that's not the issue. I just can't take you into battle with me. The other kings have said no. And so then he becomes distrusted, because in chapter 30, his own men turn against him. What an amazing story. Chapter 30 tells us that while they were up there getting ready to go to battle, that their own city of Ziklag was attacked, and all of their families were carried away captive. None of them were killed, none of them were hurt, but they were all carried away captive. So when David and his 600 men get back to Ziklag, they found all their families gone, and the city of Ziklag was burned. Burned. Everything gone. His men become so distraught that after they cry and cry and cry, they have no more power to cry anymore. Then they start talking about stoning David. You know, it's amazing when I become susceptible to depression and then I finally just give in to a fit of depression. It's amazing how even my friends can turn against me. And so he became distrusted. All their families were captured by the Amalekites. His men became bitter and vengeful, and they said, we might as well just kill him as well. And so it says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, here's the key. For 16 months, David has lived in discouragement. A year and 4 months. He has lived a time of depression and defeat and despair. Never thought he would go back into the land of Israel. Never thought he'd be welcomed back. Never thought he could go back with King Saul as the king. And now he finally comes back to the Lord. Nothing has changed. He's lost everything. He's lost his family. He's lost his kids. All the rest of his men have lost everything. Their city has been burned with fire. But the Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You see, here's the timeless truth that God has for you this morning. When you reach the end of yourself, turn back to God. Turn back to God. See, depression was reached because he said in his heart, one day I'll die at the hand of Saul. The wrong source of decisions is your own heart. When you're discouraged and defeated, stop listening to your heart. Start listening to the heart of God. Number two, never act in panic. Never act in panic. The last time he did act in haste, it was with Nabal, and he was about to kill Nabal and all of his male children. And finally, Abigail, his wife, came out and appealed to him, and so he was stopped from doing something that would have been very drastic in the minds of all the Israelis if they heard what he had done. So he was stopped in that area. Never act in panic. You see, when you and I are facing discouragement and depression and defeat, just stop. Wait. Don't make any major decisions. Stand still. I know many pastors who act in haste in resigning a church. When the peace of God is not sought, just it was when they came to the church. See, they had no peace to resign, just the pressure to run. And I know many pastors who say, I really prayed about coming to this church. Well, then have you prayed about leaving? And what a shame it is when pastors in a rush, in a haste, just simply say, that's it, I'm done, and turn in the resignation. And then it's too late. Then their ministry is done. You see, when you are facing a time of depression and defeat, despair, give God time. Somebody put it this way, if your way is hidden, don't move, pray. If your way is hidden, and isn't that the way it is so many times for us? Our way is hidden. We do not know what to do. Well, then at that point, it's best not to move, but to pray. Now, what are five things that David did? Number one, he faced his situation instead of ignoring it. He could have ignored the fact that everything was falling apart, but he faced it. Secondly, he didn't blame others. It would be so easy to blame others. But no, he didn't blame others. Thirdly, he asked God for steps of action. Chapter 30 and verse 8, he went to the man of God and he said, inquire of the Lord, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? Shall we recover all? He asked God for steps of action. And my precious friend, that's where prayer and Bible study and meditation have to be an integral part of your life when you are depressed. Stay in God's word. Then number four, ask God for the strength to do it. God will show you what he wants you to do, maybe be still, or maybe rest, or maybe pray, or whatever, but ask God for the strength to do it, because we don't have the strength. When we are depressed, we are weak. Ask God for the strength to do it. Number five, step out by faith in his word. Now, David and his men, they didn't have the ability to attack all the Amalekites, but they did. Because God told them to do it and that they would be successful. You remember Psalm 37:5? Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, I want you to remember three basic principles. Number one, remember that God's promises are sure. When you're facing a fit of depression, remember, God's promises are sure. Somebody told me years ago when I was so discouraged, keep your chin up and your knees bent. I wrote it down in my Bible. Keep your chin up and your knees bent. Psalm 34:22, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Psalm 34:22. So remember, God's promises are sure. Number two, remember that his promises are conditional. Psalm 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. You see that? The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. God's promises are conditional. We have to be right with God before we can cry out to God and his ears be open unto our cry. Then number three, remember that his promises are corrective. Waiting on the Lord proves the point of Romans 8:28, that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Are you ready to quit on your marriage? Maybe on God? Maybe you've been going through some oppression from somebody, or maybe financial or emotional strain. Have you failed to see the hand of Satan in it all? You see, that's exactly what Satan wants to do. He wants to blind you to what he's been doing. You give in to depression, it'll dishonor the Lord. It'll harm your friends and family. It'll make Satan happy. But remember those three principles. God's promises are sure. God's promises are sure. Remember that his promises are conditional upon our righteousness. And remember that his promises are corrective, waiting for God to correct you in the process. May the Lord use these thoughts to lift you out of the pit of despair and put your feet on a solid rock.